We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
Ground ball right side, Hensley will underhand it to Yuli Gurriel, and that is a sweep for the Houston Astros. First sweep ever here at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, and the first time they have swept Tampa Bay since the 03 season.
That's right, they dominated this team. There could be a potential matchup come October 11th. In the divisional round of the American League playoffs. They were going, Clint, to just shut them out for three straight, and they had it rolling for a long time, and then they're in the sixth inning. Lance wasn't able to hold them down, but he did well. Seven innings, two runs, ended up getting a win because old Tampa Tuck go ahead and took care of business in the bottom of that inning, the seventh inning there, to give them the lead. But I think that was one of the big stories there, Clint, is we were seeing five innings, not a lot of pitch, keeping the pitch count down with Garcia and Javier. Tonight, Verlander goes. We'll see what they do with him. I'd imagine very similar to those guys. We wanted to see how they would treat Lance. And they let Lance throw over 100 pitches, seven innings yesterday, and he seems to be getting into form right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, that doesn't surprise me. We said that's one thing to keep an eye on is how they handle Lance moving forward. When other guys are ramping down, he's probably ramping up still to make sure he's ready to go that distance in the playoffs. The interesting thing about last night, though, Sean, be honest with you, I was disappointed in Tampa.
Why?
They got a net over that pool in center field with the stingrays in it. The whole time that ball was traveling, I was like, obviously you can't see it, but the camera, I'm like, that ball's going to land in that water. That ball's going to land in the stingray pit, and then it lands on a net.
Yeah, safety.
You got to be kidding me. Safety.
Yeah, safety to the
– oh, hell no. If you hit a home run out there, and it's – you got to let that splash, man.
Are you shitting me?
You got to let that one
splash.
They're
trying to protect the stingray.
Oh, yeah, take them out of their natural habitat and put them in a tank in center field.
Did you hear what they did to Steve Irwin?
They didn't want to double down it.
Did you hear what they did to Steve Irwin?
So what, they shouldn't be protected? Is that the take you're going with here?
I think they'll be fine. They're wild animals. I think they can handle a stray baseball every few months.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm sitting there watching this game. When that ball hit that net, I was disappointed as hell.
It's soft.
I'm being dead like a kid. I felt like a little kid. I was like,
Tyler said it's soft.
And then that little fella that was one of very few Rays fans in the entire building, he had to stand next to the pit and just look at the ball because it was stuck over the top of the pit. He couldn't get the home run ball.
He wanted it too.
Oh, he wanted it bad.
Well, he wouldn't go, if that net wasn't there, he wasn't going to get it either.
Yeah, good point. The net gave him a chance, so maybe afterwards they could get it off.
The net could fish that thing out, yeah. Maybe the Stingrays were pissed. Maybe they wanted to catch a home run ball. That's probably not. But, yeah, safety there.
That's okay. Maldonado gave him a chance a couple innings later. No big deal.
How about him, baby? Three hits now. 3-for-4 last night to climb himself up to 189 with a batting average. I mean, I guess it was at some point where he just said, to hell with it, man. It's just is what it is. I mean, I would, like, can you imagine walking up and just seeing it 183? Just seeing it 180, like, just like, damn, man, I got over 400 at bats, and I'm sitting here, I'm not even touching 200. Think he, you think he gets to two? You think he gets on a hot streak to get himself to 200? He's at 189 now.
No. I mean, that would be one hell of a hot streak. I think that'd be
for Maldonado.
I mean, that'd be one hell of a hot streak. No, there ain't no way.
Other news here. We saw that Altuve went out early, got hit there. They said just a bit of a contusion there on the arm. He is not in the lineup today, so he is getting the day off. As Elitmus Diaz is in at second base for him, he is not playing. So we'll keep an eye on that. They still sit day-to-day, but to me, hell yeah, just give him some time as they go to Baltimore.
I will add to that, too. I believe Dusty said before the injury or, quote, injury happened last night, going into last night's game, Dusty had said that they were probably going to give Altuve the day off today. So
Altuve must have celebrated a little bit, huh?
Hopefully not a lot to worry about there.
They're using it that hit by pitch to you hope so. We'll keep you updated.
Right.
That's all it is. He does wear a pad. It's just the only spot that it can hit. It missed the pad there. So the lineup today, Peña, Diaz. So Peña leads off tonight Alvarez, Bregman back in the lineup, Tucker, Mancini at first base, Vasquez at catcher, and then our guy, the other Diaz. What do we say his first name? How do you pronounce it?
Yanier.
I don't think that's it.
that is not it.
That was not Yanier. It. It's just how I initially.
He's rolling the R.
Yanier?
Yeah.
Yanier?
that wasn't bad.
What is it? What was it?
Yanier.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe that's it. Yanier Diaz.
I like Yanier.
He is at DH tonight. Too. And Dubon. They pulled his ass pretty quickly in second base. They didn't like the way he was playing. So
fly ball guy.
Get center field tonight. Verlander's pitching, of course. His personal center fielder. Hey.
First
Vasquez.
Time Vasquez catching Verlander. Verlander.
They said they were going to try that out. I like to see that. Damn, I mean, you know Maldonado. I go 3-for-4 and I hit the bench.
Go 3-for-4. My guy Verlander's on the bump and I'm on the bench.
Hit the bench.
Come on, man.
Come on now. You got to hand that for me. All right. Mancini, maybe he goes nuts. He better pick it up. Maybe he goes nuts against Baltimore.
You need him to.
I need something, man. This is getting bad. What he's putting up together. Another 0-for-4 matching Yuli's 0-for-4 last night together right there back-to-back in the order. But they got the Orioles as they continue this East Coast road trip.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, a little news on the injury front here for the Texans. Today, both their tight ends, as we know, Brevin Jordan had the ankle. He didn't practice yesterday. He also didn't practice today. So those are the two work days, Wednesday and Thursday. That is not a good sign at all if you want him to play on Sunday. And Farrell Brown was sidelined with practice and did practice as well. Aaron Wilson is reporting that the Texans tight end Farrell Brown didn't practice due to a shoulder issue. I know you, Clint, you said he didn't think he was moving well. Had the hamstring, but this appears to be the shoulder issue. So the tight end room looks really thin. Right now you're just sitting there with Jordan Akins and O.J. Howard.
Definitely thin. The depth is a problem, but there's – I like the options that they have in terms of O.J. Howard and Jordan Akins. I think those are two good tight ends to have in terms of complementing each other, to have available. One of them will fit right into that Y tight end with his hand in the dirt. And Jordan Akins is more of your slash guy. He's more of your utility type of tight end. So, once again, they did a great job of getting that tight end room right when they brought O.J. Howard in. And I was hoping they wouldn't need the depth that they created there this early. But it looks like they could potentially need both of those guys in a big way this weekend.
So, yeah, maybe that explains something with Farrell, the shoulder not moving well. And listen, my thought when I see this is, from what we've seen the first 2 weeks, this feels like if this happens, right, and it's very, very possible when you have Brevin Jordan who hadn't practiced in 2 days, and yet Farrell Brown missing a Thursday as well, you could see those two not being able to go in the game on Sunday. They've run a lot of 2-3 tight end sets. You would think this would have to at least in some way change what they've been wanting to do.
Yeah, they were, it would probably limit what they can do in terms of goal line short yardage type situations. And like you said, some of those packages where they've used three tight ends at a time and been too tight end heavy at times. But they were. I went back and checked it and talked to our guy Brooks Cabina. They were in 11 personnel a lot last week, and so they're clearly comfortable in 11 personnel. I would imagine that that's what they'd be in this week. Both tight ends could fill the tight end role. Heavy O.J. Howard, but allow I would think Jordan Akins to spell him if they do only have two tight ends on the active roster. We'll see. But again, I think both of these guys are very capable, and I think a limited tight end room would probably, it would mean that Pep's going to have to be a little bit more spread, a little bit more creative with them wide
maybe.
Receivers.
Or we see a lot of Charlie Heck.
Well, it'd be hard to go to 13. It'd be hard to go to three tight end sets. You know,
unless they start bringing Charlie Heck in.
Yeah, well, good point. We'll see what that ground and pound looks like.
You know, that's what they want to do.
Yeah, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully they go the other direction.
And by the way, real quick, I don't know what kind of luck the Texans have, but here we are again. Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, hip, didn't practice today. Second
wow,
day in a
dude.
Row, he's been out. He is their best defensive player on the team. This would be Shaq Leonard, Justin Simmons, hell, and then
and
eventually
Patrick Surtain
out for Denver. And now Roquan Smith, the Bears' best defensive player, has missed the last 2 days of practice, and I think he's in jeopardy of not playing on a Sunday. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah,
three games in a row. You
got
arguably
some luck on your damn side. You might need to win one of these games while you
right?
can. Because there's no question about it. This offense, Texans offense, has been able to go against some defenses that have been missing some major pieces, like difference maker, game changing types of pieces. So
especially,
could possibly happen again this week.
Especially what the Texans want to do. And what they want to do with Damian Pierce,
Roquan
Smith not being there,
that's a big deal.
So that's one to keep watching. If that happened, third game in a row where significant defensive pieces are out will be insane. So that is the latest. Pharaoh Brown and Brevin Jordan didn't practice. Pharaoh Brown has a shoulder issue reported by Aaron Wilson for the Texans. Roquan Smith, their best defensive player for the Bears, has been out for the second day in a row.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Clint. Steelers-Browns tonight. Big Thursday night football game. I ain't going to lie to you. You know how I'm going to be watching this. I'm going to be watching this from a standpoint, many standpoints. Want to enjoy some good football, potentially. But from a standpoint of Davis Mills should be on par with these two quarterbacks, if not thought to be outperforming them. And I
agree wholeheartedly.
And I want to watch to see how they look. And not necessarily the people around them, because I think you can argue both squads have more talent potentially around them. But I just want to see how those two look, because Mitch Trubisky and Jacoby Brissett are quarterbacks that I, quite frankly, I believe many Texans fans feel are below. Davis Mills. And I think a lot of people this year, a lot of experts think are below Davis Mills. Davis Mills should at least be playing at their level.
Yeah, no, I agree. And now that has a lot to do with Davis Mills playing better. I don't think you're going to watch these. Like tonight, I think both of these guys are going to play better than what we've seen Davis Mills play to this point. In fact, I'd be shocked if these two guys didn't play better, even against pretty solid defenses. I'd be shocked if they don't play better than what we've seen from Davis Mills the first 2 weeks of the season. But that's not to say that Davis can't finish better than him after a larger sample size. He's just – my point is Davis Mills has got to play better for this to even be a conversation. I mean, that's – these guys, I believe – I'd bet a good chunk of money that they're going to play better tonight than Davis Mills has. Now, one of them may throw a couple interceptions down the stretch, being aggressive with the football or something, but a big picture, I think we're going to be able to watch these two play and walk away with a better quarterback product than what we've seen the first 2 weeks out of Davis.
But before the season, are these two guys that you would have put behind Davis Mills? Like, if you're thinking like...
You're a little
higher on Mitch.
Well, I'm a little higher. Like, Jacoby Brissett is... I mean, he's a backup in this league. So, no, I would not put him above a starting quarterback in this league. But Jacoby Brissett is a veteran. He's a pocket passer. He's going, for the most part, make some pretty good decisions. Knows when to take a run, drive it down the field. Has the ability to drive it down the field and throw the deep ball. So would it shock me? I mean, boy, we're really splitting hairs here with Jacoby Brissett.
I would have, as you said, he's a backup quarterback. I would have had him behind Davis Mills.
Yeah, but he's a backup quarterback with a lot more.
Backup quarterback.
But he's got a lot more experience. He's got a lot better team around him. So if you'd asked me that week one, just flat out, do I think Davis Mills will have a better year than Jacoby Brissett if they started 17 games? I'd probably say no. I'd say Jacoby would have a better one. The jury's out on – I mean, I don't know what the hell to think about Mitch, if I'm being completely honest. I mean, I'm higher on Mitch than most people, but that has, to be completely transparent, has more to do with just his tangible ability. Like, you take a guy that's tangibly very, very gifted and you put him in a stable organization where they do things in a winning way like Pittsburgh, typically you see a better version of that guy. Mm. Now, I don't know if he's going to be a starter. I don't know if he's going to be great. I don't know if he's going to be – he's never going to live up to a top five draft pick, but can he be significantly better than he was in Chicago in a good organization like Pittsburgh? I think he should be.
Well, he better pick it up.
Yeah,
he's got to pick it up.
Last week was rough, huh?
Well, through 2 weeks, you're already hearing the rumblings of Kenny Pickett.
He's going to face that all year. I really do wonder if that would be happening if Kenny Pickett didn't play college ball in Pittsburgh's backyard.
The Pittsburgh thing
in the Steelers' backyard. Well, I just think when we get to talking about rumbling, I think any time the quarterback sputters or the offense sputters, it's going to be 10 times louder than it typically is with the NFL franchise, because that whole college fan base is chomping at the bit for him to be the Steelers guy.
Yeah. Now, listen to no one saying anything about Kyle Allen right now or Jeff Driscoll. Not yet, but.
Right.
Not yet. Now, yeah, no, he better pick it up, because they are I know Texans fans are hoping that the Browns lose, right? And because that draft pick is tied to the first round pick for the Texans, with the Browns coming up in this next year's draft. I don't know. They're at home. The Browns should win this game. T.J. Watt is out of this game with the injury. Myles Garrett plays for the Browns in this one. Their defense should be able to uphold things. And really, the Browns should be 2-0. Their comeback, the way they lost, up 13 with under 2 minutes to go. Like, I think that's the first time that's happened in over 2,000 games. Up 13 with 2 minutes to go and you lose the game. So I think Cleveland wins this one tonight. And if Mitch looks bad, then I think Mike Tomlin is potentially going to have to make him a move. So it'll be an entertaining game tonight. Hopefully, guys out there got Amazon Prime and you're able to catch it. That's one. All right, there's a player that his production's not been really high yet for the Texans, but I think Texans fans should be very, very encouraged by what they've been able to see. We'll discuss that coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, I got to tell you, after two games, and really, I want to say it's really after four games, because I want to include the last two preseason games. Clint, I am really, really, really feeling much better about Nico Collins.
Really?
Are you?
I am. I really am. I like what I've seen from him. And I know his production isn't, like, he hasn't had a 100-yard game. You know, he only got two targets in the first game and you know, led the team in receiving in the last game. But, you know, you don't remember a lot. But just watching, you know, the tape and seeing him, sometimes I find myself just watching him on routes. I like what he is doing. I think he is in position to be more productive and make more plays. I think he potentially more than anybody is getting hurt by the struggles of Davis Mills. And I have really been impressed, starting with the Rams preseason game when they made it a point to get him involved. He went up and made plays, like we're saying, that, you know, those simple plays that he was dropping sometimes at practice, not being consistent, catching that and making a big play out of it, going up, catching a touchdown in traffic and helping his quarterback. In the next game, you know, having PI penalties there as well, moving the ball down the field. And, like, I like what we have seen, even in these last two games. Is, like, there have been times where he has been open and just Davis has airmailed him and not giving him a shot, but he has been there. I really like what I'm seeing from Nico Collins. And I know it hasn't shown when you look production-wise, but if you just go watch him and see where he is, if he were given better chances and better opportunities to go get the ball and catch the ball and given shots and not have it thrown in the first row, I think his production would be a lot better than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, look, I think they got to get him more involved. There's no question about that. And I think that starts with Davis Mills. I think we've, you know, I remember from the TV copy of week one, versus the Colts, is, you know, there's on the ball that he had the miscommunication with Brandon Cooks. I mean, right now, Nico Collins is open on a little shallow route across the middle, right where the pressure was coming from. That would have been a big, big gain. And so little things like that, giving him a chance to catch the football on the run versus pressure looks, because there's nobody back there. He's already got his guy beat. Everybody else is running man-to-man with another receiver. Those are big gain type of opportunities. You don't always have to throw the ball, you know, 40 yards in order to get that big gain. So I tell you where I'm at with Nico, though, in terms – I agree that the offense has to get him more involved.
You've watched the tape, right? There have been spaces where they've had opportunities with him?
There's been some spaces where he's been had opportunity, but if you put me on the spot right now and said, you know, what do you think Nico is in this league? I think Nico is a complimentary. I mean, I confuse people with that. I think he is a starting receiver in this league.
Two or three on a really good team.
Yeah, I think he's a good. I agree with that. I think he's a good receiver that's going to catch you a slant, big bodied receiver that can catch you a slant. I'm really concerned. I just don't think he's going to run by anybody. He doesn't move at the same speed. I mean, Chris Moore appears to be moving faster than him at times on go routes and things like that. So I'm a little bit concerned on what exactly he is in this league, and is he the guy that can go up and legit be a deep threat and go up and get these 50-50 balls versus starting DBs in this league? I'm a little bit concerned with that, but no doubt about it, they've got to find a way to make him a bigger part of this offense.
Lovie Smith, he spoke about this earlier this week, talking about Nico Collins, as you just talked about, getting him more involved. This was Lovie.
Well, Nico is a big target, and as you identify some of the things, you know, after the fact a little bit, that I thought Nico did some good things when we featured him. And as we look at it, I mean, big target. When we do go to him, of course, it seemed like he's been a playmaker. So that's one of the areas that we need to be able to get Nico more involved when we're passing the football.
Hopefully that becomes his week. Yeah. Last week he said that Damian Pierce needed to be more involved, and he damn sure was. Hopefully this week it is for Nico. I'm just – when I was watching and I'm not saying that he is this guy. Okay. When I was watching Courtland Sutton on the other side and seeing some of the type of routes he was running and some of the opportunities that Russ was giving him, I was like, I don't think Nico is as good as that guy or will be that. But, man, I'd like to see an opportunity where, hey, let's give him a shot against a smaller corner to see if he can go up and get it. Yeah. Like, Sutton didn't run by Stingley or run by some of these guys, but he was by himself. He put the ball up in the air, and obviously Russ throws those balls as well as anybody, but allowed him to go up and get it. And I like to see it. And I remember, like, the play that really jumped in my mind was the 4th-and-2 for the Broncos, and they run that little curl of Sutton where he basically just boxed out the corner in Steven Nelson or Stingley, whoever it was. And bam, he put it right on him, and he made a big – like, Nico can do that and potentially break a tackle. And then we do see him down the field on the drive at 3:36 where they're coming in, and he hits Nico down the field. Like, where are those?
Yeah.
Like, give him those opportunities. And he is the one that I see him airmail all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I think he's trying to throw it up in the air for him to go get it, but he's going to need a ladder out there to go and get the thing. I see those opportunities. I was watching Sutton. I was like, man, if he were to just have throws and opportunities like that, I feel like the 4 for 58 might be 6 or 7 for 70 or 80, where there are opportunities there that I just don't think he's getting.
Well, you're spot on, I think, in terms of getting him more involved and seeing if he can make those plays. Because there's no doubt that Davis Mills has missed a few of them. There's no doubt that when he has missed, it's more times than not, it's in Nico's direction. And they've got to be better. And in turn, we'll find out who Nico is. Pep tries to give him the ball more, and Davis Mills is more accurate with his throws in his direction. And I'll be honest with you, his decision-making has been poor. I just rewatched the first half of the All-22 again with Davis Mills, and there's, you know, trying to drive the football down the field with a linebacker that's belling from jump, and the crosser coming underneath wide open. I mean, two different times, you know, trying to drive the football down the field when the one guy you're keying from the time you snap the football should be who you have your eyes on is telling you. He is turning and running, like running with his back to you. He's telling you to check the football, not check the football down, but get through your progression and hit the crosser. And it doesn't happen. And so you do things like that. That's why I was talking about, or was that Monday or Tuesday, talking about decision-making with Davis Mills. Those are typically decisions that Davis makes. Like, nobody's ever had to tell Davis Mills, like, hey, man, don't force the ball down the field. Check it down. Instead, he forced it down the field twice. And then when you're in a situation where you got to score or it's 3rd-and-16, you're immediately checking it down. Like, the decision-making is off a little bit there. And I think one guy that will benefit big time if Davis can line things out just from that perspective, I think is Nico Collins.
And if Rex Burkhead can get a fade.
No question. Oh, no question.
Then Nico can get a fade. I just saw some here on the text line say, show you're out of your mind, you don't have good football sense, and that's going to go S-I-N-C-E on that football sense from this person. Nico, along with all the other Texan wide receivers, cannot create separation. Listen, I won't argue some of that, but like on a fade, I'm not even asking for Nico to create separation, although we've watched him do it at times in this season when, like the big catch we just talked about that came to a big game, he created separation in the middle of the field. A fade is him using his body in big frame like Courtland Sutton did to Derek Stingley Jr. That was a fade. He didn't run past him. He went up and they threw the ball up and gave him a chance to out jump and use his body to go over Stingley and make a catch. He did for a touchdown, they thought, and he stepped out, and then he did again for a big gain for 30 down the field. I'd like Nico could get one of those shots. And if you're gonna give it to Rex, then hell, Nico should at least get one. I think they threw a fade to Brandon Cooks in the game. I mean, just using him in that way just makes too much damn sense to me. By the way, the Ravens, they signed Jason Pierre-Paul.
Give him a little pass rush, huh?
Yeah, 1 year, $5.5 million, a rare non-minimum deal during the season. as they
JPP said, y'all want my services. One, I know you need them. Two, it's going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah, he's got the same amount of fingers as I think Prime has toes.
Right? 8-finger JPP, huh?
Eight or seven or eight. Oh, man. Damn. Them fireworks. Oh, that got him. Well, that got him in a major way. All right. We're getting close to it, guys. Getting ready for Sunday as the Texans, they travel to Chicago to take on the Bears. At noon in Chicago, Texans countdown gets going with Sean and Seth at 9 a.m. And kickoff is at noon, and then Texans postgame with Sean and our guy Clint Sterner right as the clocks hit zero. So stay tuned for that. Should be a winnable game for the Texans. All right, big news for the Astros as they are making a partnership. A partnership with a celebrity that you got to hear about. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
So I guess 50 Cent is a legit Houstonian at this point now.
If you call him 50 Cent, you got no clue what's going on.
That's what it says, John.
I don't get it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, we've seen a lot of stuff with the Texans, but now
I don't get it there either. But I'm now, be completely honest,
it's
with you.
It's going with the Astros. The Astros have partnered with 50 in his Sire Spirits, specifically. Branson Cognac will be recognized as the official cognac. I didn't know the Astros had an official cognac. The official cognac of the Houston Astros. The club level bar at Minute Maid will be rebranded next year as Sire Spirits Bar. And 50 gets a year-round suite. What is it? Did he just wake up one day and say, you know what? I'm going to make Houston my home. I mean, I just.
Can't blame him.
I mean, and they going to take this money too. But I mean, my goodness.
I don't get it.
I don't either. He has a house here, right? I believe that is accurate.
But it's not like he's not H-Town.
No, he's not.
Like trying to weave, and I love 50 now. I mean, I've had some times in my damn life, I'm talking about right in the heart of my single and ready to mingle with a little bit of change in my pocket.
Like this right
times.
Here.
Times. I mean, come on, man. But I don't get it, and I don't know that I appreciate it, if I'm being completely honest.
Wow. Okay.
Like just this? Weaving 50 into H-Town it doesn't do it for me. I'm not a big fan.
Because I think that thing should be renamed. The club level should be renamed Trill Burgers.
Exactly. If you're gonna
Burgers Bar.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
For Bun. I
think you would get more. I think
now, Bun's not shelling out the money. Maybe that 50 is.
Yeah, he doesn't have the backing that 50 had.
It's really weird though that 50 is just. It's like he woke up and chose Houston as a city for him to just fly in, to just start just partnering with.
But you got it. But show you got to be like this is above and beyond. Now I'm leaning more towards the Texans' involvement with 50. Like this is above and beyond just the hey I'm a sponsor and I want to come in and I want to brand the club level
he's
bar.
He's branding himself as Houston. Like he's taking pictures in front of the Astrodome.
He's involved, but I'm talking about the organizations.
Yes.
Like this isn't just a company comes in and hey we want this level bar to be the El Tiempo Margarita Bar, whatever the hell it's called. I mean this is some kind of coordinated effort to, yeah, brand the bar a certain way, but to weave 50 into the Texans and into the Astros and into H-Town. Like, it's a coordinated effort. And I don't get the thought behind it.
I don't either. Do you? That's interesting. 713-572-4610. Clint said he just doesn't, you to a point, you don't really appreciate this. this 50 Cent has just, I mean, honed in and made him trying to make himself Houston.
Well, yeah, no, it's not 50. Like, 50 can do whatever the hell he wants to. I'm a big fan of him. I'm talking about it from, like, the Texans and the Astros perspective. Like why is it necessary? I mean, if you want to have a bar, if you want to have a bar or an area and be sponsored by a spirit, okay, that's fine. But what is the thought process behind, like, making 50 part of the branding of your organization and of your slogan in the process?
Yeah, they had the what was the graphic that the Texans had, the 713 day?
Yeah,
and he was on the graphic along with other Houston legends.
Right. But even in the home game, every time I looked up his face, it was a big headshot of 50 on the big screen.
It is really weird. I mean, this is like it is really weird. I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get the end game, I guess. Like, is 50 coming in and paying enough money to where
he has to be paying.
Instead of putting the logo of his Bubbly and Yak, and he got all kind of stuff,
yeah,
right?
He's got a whole bunch of stuff.
His spirit line, if you will. I mean, and so instead of putting the logo, it's his face. So that's basically his face is the placement of all. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, it's an interesting dynamic from the organization's perspective to try to weave him into so much H-Town.
How long has this happened? Because he is. When did we start hearing this move and him just starting? It feels like this has just gone about over like a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
Span.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've come to the point where he has legit, like, partnerships with the football and the baseball team here. And now they're renaming things after his products.
Right.
That is, yeah, it is interesting. By the way, most people don't seem to have an issue with it.
No, I don't have an issue with 50 spending money in Houston and bringing his whole line of spirits to Houston. I don't, it's a problem with it is strong, I guess. I think it's odd. I think like when on 713 day, when we get a graphic from the Texans, and it's got Bun B, and it's got the everything H-Town that you could imagine, and then 50's heads in the middle of it. Like, that's it's forced.
Yeah,
it's strange. Like, I still don't get, like I was told, like, hey, just wait, you'll see. Like, okay, I've waited, and now I understand he's spending money with the organization, and he's got this drink out there that we're trying to push, but, like, I still don't get why he's in that.
I mean, yeah, I guess that money is just going far enough, I guess. It is weird. This one caught me off guard when I saw this. I knew he was doing stuff with the Texans. Hell, now he just slid over here. What's next, the Rockets?
Well, I mean, if they can win a game, yeah. I got to believe he's going to have a spot in the Toyota Center as well.
Some part of the Toyota Center is going to be named after him. Next, you know, it might be Curtis Jackson Stadium coming up here with the Dynamo and the Dash. It may rename the whole stadium after if he pays enough money. The new official cognac of the Houston Astros. Well, I think we got to get a bottle of that cognac.
I mean, I think the right thing to do would be for us all to sample it.
Cheryl, can you look that? How much is that cognac? Branson's cognac. I'd like to see how much.
I did sample his champagne.
Was it good?
Probably 3 or 4 samples, if I'm being completely honest.
How many bubbles was it? Because you learned. What'd you learn about?
I wasn't in no shape to be counting bubbles, man. It's the size of the bubbles, not how many, by the way. But I was in no shape.
Whatever that rule.
I was in no shape to be counting bubbles at that point in time. I was having me a good time, gambling a little bit.
Enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Branson runs between, there's different degrees to it, but your everyday bottle's about $60.
What's that? What are the other degrees?
I see a larger bottle here, and it's called a Branson Cognac XO, $250. Mm.
What's that champagne sounding like?
Not sure.
Mm. I need to get me a bottle of that. I took a picture of it.
The official cognac of the Houston Astros. How about that? Listen, you're confused about 50 for good reason. I am really confused about this NBA story. This Boston Celtics, Ime Udoka. He is the head coach of the Celtics, and he is facing a season-long suspension. We should be hearing that at any point today because of an improper relationship with a female member of the Boston Celtics organization and a consensual relationship. And they are not firing him, but suspending him for 82 games. I just, like, the jump from zero and making this extremely public, and this is not the league doing it, it's the Celtics themselves doing it. Like, who in the world could this person be that he is having an improper relationship that would say one full year? Like, that seems like, it. When I hear a full year, it seems like this is very serious. Like, this, he has broken some sort of a rule that is very, or he had an improper relationship with somebody that was completely off limits, like somebody's daughter, somebody's wife. Like this is just 82 games for this. Why not just fire him? This is the most confusing situation that I've seen. I cannot believe this.
Yeah,
one year.
This is one for me where I got to wait until the details come out. I listened to Stephen A. Smith go on and on about this morning, and he took it in several different directions.
Oh my goodness!
I need to hear what comes of it, because I'm with you. There's no way that this is like the secretary that works the front desk at the Celtics practice arena.
That's not getting you 82 games, right?
That's not. I mean, I wouldn't think that's getting you anything,
right?
You know, this has got to be.
Especially if it's consensual.
It's got to be one of two things. It's got to be somebody.
Hold on, let me see if your head is where mine is.
Well, it's got to be the owner's wife or the owner's daughter.
Right? Or the GM. Or,
yeah, it's something like that.
That's fire, right?
I would think so. Or it has to be something that was like ongoing. Like they told him from jump, hey, man, we can't have you doing this. And he's done it again with a different person or with the same person. It's ongoing. And they've reached a point where they don't want to fire him because they're having success. But they got to put their foot down. I'm with you. This is something that either you don't punish him at all, or you fire him. How you get to one season suspension and what that accomplishes is I think the interesting part to this.
Because this is a story because the Celtics are allowing this to be known as a story.
Right. They went public with it.
And when you say on and on like this. Last year was his first year as the coach. I mean, that's the this is his first year arriving at Boston.
Well, I don't know about you, but you can do a lot of bad or good in a year.
But I'm just saying, like, ongoing to a point where, all right, man, he got here, and for the last year, this thing has been so bad that we're gonna say, you know what, 82 games. We've told you. Maybe that is it. That he was just lying. Like someone here on the text line, he slept with the owners. Now, listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, if Lovie Smith. And I'm just saying, I'm just bringing him up as an example. If Lovey or
some things you just don't do.
Or Stephen Silas slept with the owner's wife, they'd be fired. Like that's a firing. This isn't just a hey man, hey, and he's so good at his job. Like because they become the owner now. They're the owner now. They run the team now. And I can't believe. And hell, maybe you may know. I don't think the Cowboys, there's not a rule that you can't have relationships among each other in
sure
the organization.
There was.
Oh, there was?
Yep.
What about relations?
No relations with the cheerleaders.
That's right.
That was a rule. No relations with the cheerleader. You wouldn't get suspended for 16 games.
No. You wouldn't get suspended. You may just get warned if that were to happen. But Troy Aikman actually pursued a gal that worked with the organization for a while, and then
they shut it down. They tried to shut it down.
Yeah, she quit her job, and they got married and had a kid, and they're no longer together. But apparently he pursued her for a long period of time, and she steered clear of it because of her job and the ramifications that she decided to.
When I hear 82 games, I'm like, how did it not become a firing? You go there. How do you go from zero to 82 games? I mean, this seems like, I mean, you would think this, yeah, somebody's texting you right. Phil Jackson and Jeannie Buss. Hell, she's the owner. She's the owner's daughter and the owner. And they was I mean, he was slinging it.
That has nothing. I mean, every organization's ran differently. Like you got rules in place, and either they allow you to sleep with the office, or they don't. And if they don't, and you get popped, and you get popped multiple times, or you get popped with somebody that's powerful enough, and you got to live with the consequences and the repercussions. Now it doesn't make sense. Like I said, I would think this is something that you figure out how to handle in house as a family, or you fire the dude. Like the 82 again, the 82 games is what's interesting. That's the part that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
All right, remember, come hang out with us tomorrow, Miller Lite Football Friday from 2 to 6 at Churrasco's in Memorial City. Come hang out with us. Good drinks, good food, great food, and we'll get you ready for Sunday's matchup against the Bears. Miller Lite Football Friday, Churrasco's in Memorial City. What you got coming up?
Well, Jerry Jones done lost his damn mind. I'm gonna tell you what I'm talking about, and we're gonna discuss that a little bit. There's some audio out there that we got to cuss and discuss, and we will do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.